Thanks very much to FX Markets for giving me the opportunity to speak to you all here today. Speaking from lockdown in Sydney, as you can probably see, and I hope you're all doing well in whatever part of the world you're in. As Duncan said, what I'm here to talk to you today about is the recently completed review and update of the FX Global Code. So the updated code was released on the 15th of July. It should be pretty easy for you to find it. It's sitting on the GFXC website, along with all the other materials we've put out over the years. But most particularly today, as I said, I want you to be looking at the FX Global Code update. So what I want to do today is remind you about the important role the code plays in the FX market. I'll summarize the parts of the code that have been updated and talk about the accompanying papers we've put out alongside the updated code on pre-hedging and last look, which are obviously pretty topical issues in the market. So let me kick off with just a bit of history. So the FX code was launched back in May 2017. Took us a couple of years to pull it together. It was a direct and important response to the lack of trust in the foreign exchange market that was suffering, the FX industry was suffering on, suffering from back then, on the back of a number of pretty well-known instances of misconduct in the market and the associated multi-billion dollar fines. So the market wasn't in a great place back then. There was a lack of trust, which was evident both between participants in the market and, at least as importantly, between the public and the market. Moreover, that lack of trust was impairing market functioning in some pretty important ways. So the market needed to move towards a more favorable and desirable location and allow the participants in the market to have much greater confidence that the market was functioning appropriately. And it's also important in thinking about the code and the role that it plays in the market, just remember back then what the alternative was in the aftermath of those scandals. And there was a decent chance that regulatory authorities around the world could conclude that a substantial regulatory response was necessary to generate the desired improvement in market structure and conduct. But the code provided the opportunity for the FX market to basically fix itself and to address the lack of trust and to address the market dysfunction. So the original code was developed through a public sector, private sector partnership. It was a joint effort of central banks and market participants drawn from all parts of the market, from the buy side, including corporates and asset managers, and the sell side, along with trading platforms, ECNs, and major and non-bank participants. The membership was also drawn from all around the world, drawing on the various foreign exchange committees across the globe, which encompass all the top 15 FX markets by turnover in both advanced and emerging markets. So the code was put together by a group which is very representative of the market as a whole. And I think that's important when we're thinking about codes of conduct. It's not just developed by one particular group in the market, it's been developed by the whole group. So we have all perspectives reflected when we're developing the code and in this update of the code. So after its launch, the Global Foreign Exchange Committee has maintained the code. That GFXC has now expanded to 20 members now, adding even more markets across all parts of the globe. So the code sets out good global principles of good practice in the FX market to provide a common set of guidance to the market. And so there are 55 principles in the code covering FX, information sharing, execution, including e-trading and platforms, prime brokerage, governance, risk management and compliance, and confirmation and settlement. So the one important thing about the code is that it's principles-based rather than rules-based. It is not regulation. It is a principles-based code. It's not rules-based. It's not regulation. There are a number of reasons why this is so, but for me, an important reason is that the more prescriptive the code is, the easier it is to get around. Rules are much easier to arbitrage than principles. So the more prescriptive and the more precise the code, the less people will think about what they're doing. If it's principles-based and less prescriptive, then market participants are going to have to think about whether their actions are consistent with the principles of code. Moreover, as we sought to draft the code and as we've looked to update the code, if once we try and get too specific, we are just not going to be able to cover every single aspect of the foreign exchange market. So the code is not a procedures manual. Rather, the code articulates principles that need to be taken into account. Individual firms in the market may then take these principles and reflect them in their own procedures manuals. Our aim in setting out these principles is to provide market participants with the framework in which to think about they, for example, handle their orders. And the emphasis here is very much on the word think. We can tell you what better practice is, and we can also highlight what isn't better practice, but there's a whole range of stuff in the middle where you're going to have to think about what does actually constitute good practice. So in those years since the code was launched in May 2017, these principles of good practice have helped to restore confidence and promote the effective functioning of the wholesale FX market. In my view, the FX market is in a better place than it was a few years ago. It's not just my view, it's confirmed by surveys of market participants too, including the one that we conducted by the GFXC a couple of years ago. The code has also been adopted by a number of securities regulators around the world as the primary reference for their oversight of the FX market, including in the UK and in China and in my own market here in Australia, but a number of other markets above and beyond that too. But while it's been used by those regulators, I just once again emphasise the code is not regulation. I'm not a regulator. I'm a market participant as a central bank just as much as anyone else is. So when we launched the code, as Duncan mentioned earlier, it was agreed that we would review it every 3 years to ensure that it remained appropriate and to also ensure it stayed current with the ongoing evolution of the foreign exchange market. And hence, around 2 years ago, the GFXC surveyed market participants to assess what areas of the code needed to be reviewed. And the primary response of market participants to that survey was that the code remained fit for purpose and changes should only be made as necessary. The strong guidance was that changes to the code should be contained to a few areas. And the GFXC identified a few key areas requiring review to ensure that the code continues to provide appropriate guidance and contributes to an effectively functioning market and remains in step with the evolution of the market. So over the past 18 months, various working groups of the GFXC, drawing on that diverse group of market participants and central banks, have been working on the review. The proposed updates to the code have been through a number of rounds of feedback with market participants through the various foreign exchange committees around the world, some 20 or so, as well as a public request for feedback process. And I would like to thank the broad range of market participants who've provided us with feedback, which have allowed us to enhance the changes that we have made to the code. But I would have particularly like to thank the working groups for their hard work, especially given the challenging environment or the pandemic under which we put this revised code together. So following this process of review and consultation with industry, the GFXC has published the updated version of the code earlier this month. So the July 2021 version of the code replaces the earlier version from August 2018. But in total, 11 of the code's 55 principles have been amended. So we really have sought to keep the changes to the code to what was necessary rather than just what could be changed. So what I'd like to do now is run through those various changes to the code. So one particular thing that we've done, which I'd like is the GFXC has also, alongside those code updates, the updates to the code, we've also developed disclosure cover sheets and templates for algo due diligence and for transaction cost analysis, TCA, to assist market participants in meeting the code's principles for disclosure and transparency. So I'd very much like you to look at those disclosure cover sheets which sit alongside the updated version of the code and very much encourage market participants, particularly on the sell side, to make use of those disclosure sheets. Additionally, alongside those updates to the code, we've published guidance papers on the practices of pre-hedging and last look to provide further clarity about our thinking around those two issues in the market. So we published the pre-hedging one a couple of weeks ago. As I'll come to a bit later, we're still finalising the last look one, but it's out for comment, which closes at the end of this week, and we should have that out in the public domain in the next couple of weeks or so. So let me now run through some of those areas of change in a little more detail. So, and the first couple of these really reflect the evolution of the market since the first version of the code was launched back in 2017. So anonymous trading, algos, and TCAs are much more features of the FX market landscape now than they were back then. They were around back then, but they weren't as prominent as they are now. And so these two areas really reflect the fact that the market has developed over the last few years and the code needs to move in line with those developments. The code has been amended to encourage greater disclosure by those operating anonymous platforms, including in their policies for managing the unique identifiers of their users or tags. So we had considered them, but they're much more prevalent in the market now, and we thought it appropriate to provide principles around their appropriate use this time around. And as I said, it's mostly around encouraging greater disclosure by those operating anonymous platforms. Anonymous trading platforms are also encouraged to make available the code signatory status of their users. That is, have the users on their platform signed up to the code. Recognizing the value that data related to trading activity holds for market participants, the code staff now states that FX e-trading platforms, including anonymous platforms, should be transparent about their market data policies, including which user types such data is made available to and at what frequency and with what latency. So as these platforms are making this data available, we very much the code recommends that these platforms should make it clear exactly how that data is being made available. Platforms are also encouraged to disclose the mechanisms and controls by which they are managing or monitoring the credit limits of their users. Now turn to FX settlement. As Duncan said, that's also become back in the forefront of people's thinking again at the moment. But the risks associated with FX settlement have always been very significant and continue to be so. But as I said, they have come back into view again, in part following the publication of the last triennial survey of FX turnover by the BIS, where they highlighted the potentially growing share of currency of trades which aren't cleared through PVP or through CLS in particular. And that's an issue that we at the GFXC have been focusing on over the last couple of years, including working with CLS, as you'll hear later, to try and understand what the nature of that potentially uncleared settlement risk is. Some part of it potentially is down to internalization. Some part of it, though, is through the growing use, a growing turnover in some EM currencies, which aren't necessarily cleared PVP. So consequently, the GFXC identified a need to strengthen the code's guide on settlement risk and remind people that it is and continues to be a risk that people need to be very much aware of. So we've made amendments to place greater emphasis on the usage of systems where they are available, recognizing they're not always available, and to provide more detailed guidance on the management of settlement risk where PVP settlement is not used. New language on the potential systemic consequences of a market participant's failure to meet their payment obligations has been included to specifically discourage strategic fails, which we've seen a bit more of in recent times. The code's guidance on the information the providers of algo trading or aggregation services should be disclosing has been expanded to include the disclosure of any conflicts of interest that could impact the handling of client orders arising from interacting with their own principal market-making desks. More broadly, the GFXC believes the market would benefit from greater uniformity of disclosures in this area and to enable clients to more easily compare and understand the services being offered by market participants providing algo trading services are now encouraged to share their disclosure information in a standardized format, so that if you're a user of such services, it's much easier for you to compare and contrast the different offerings out there. So we have published an algo due diligence template that people may use as appropriate, but the issue is to be able to have that information in a standardized format rather than have to delve through all the somewhat quite dense disclosure sheets that are out there in the market at the moment, so that at least the high-level information is easily obtained and easily compared and contrasted. Similarly, the GFXC believes that TCA analysis would be aided by greater harmonisation and data reporting within the industry. TCA is central to determining the quality of execution received by users of algos, and as the barriers conducting TCA can be quite high for users, standardized information set can be particularly helpful for less sophisticated clients or those with limited resources. And so we've also published a TCA data template that should assist in bringing about greater standardization. More generally, clear and accessible disclosures allow market participants to make informed decisions about the other market participants with whom they interact. And a key area of focus with the GFXC was the challenges market participants faced in accessing and evaluating the large amount of varied disclosure information being available to them. So we have firsthand experience with this ourselves as central banks in reading all the disclosure sheets that our counterparties provide to us. We have a reasonable amount of trouble sifting through all that information. To address this, the GFXC has created standardized disclosure cover sheets for liquidity providers and for FXE trading platforms. They have been developed to improve the accessibility and clarity of existing disclosures. And it should allow you as a market participant to more easily compare and contrast disclosures across a set of standardized information. Those disclosure sheets aren't out quite yet, but we'll put them out shortly alongside the Last Look paper because they do contain some disclosures around Last Look. So the code in particular, the code has been expanded to include explicit references to provision of information about trade rejections. Market participants should be making clients aware of the basis on which trades might be rejected and should be keeping records of the reasons behind those trade rejections. So the disclosure cover sheet, the algo due diligence one, and the TCA data template can support market participants meeting the range of disclosure and transparency principles within the code. And they are made available on the GFXC website, and the use is voluntary. But market participants will be able to post their disclosure cover sheets alongside their statement of commitment on the various public registers, so it should make it easy for people to access those. So let me now talk a bit about pre-hedging and Last Look. So there are principles 11 and 17 of the code, which describe good market practice in those two areas. And they continue to be areas that generate strong and sometimes diverse views across market participants. And when we asked for people what areas they wanted to have reviewed in the code, these two were pre-hedging in particular was somewhere near the top. So there was demand for further clarity on the appropriate use of these trading practices. And hence, alongside this updated version of the code, we're publishing separate guidance papers on these topics. Their papers are intended to be read alongside the code in its entirety. That is, there are other principles in the code that cover practices relevant to pre-hedging and Last Look, not just principles 11 and 17. For instance, the principles around benchmark orders is very much relevant to the pre-hedging guidance paper. So the guidance paper on pre-hedging discusses the circumstances in which pre-hedging could be used in the FX market and the controls and disclosures that could help align pre-hedging activity with the code. As the paper states, in utilizing pre-hedging. Liquidity providers are expected to behave with integrity, both in executing their client activities and in supporting the functioning of the FX market. While the intent of any liquidity provider conducting pre-hedging should be to benefit the liquidity consumer in executing an anticipated order, there is no guarantee that it will always result in a trade or a trade at a price that is beneficial to the liquidity consumer. Pre-hedging done with no intent to benefit the liquidity consumer or market functioning is not in line with the code and may constitute illegal front running. So that paper, as I said, provides a lot more guidance around pre-hedging, and I recommend that you have a read of it. The guidance paper on Last Look has generated a larger volume of discussion and feedback than the other parts of the three-year review. And to ensure that we've appropriately taken that on board, we're currently undergoing a final round of feedback with the various foreign exchange committees and their members, and that feedback closes at the end of this week. We're aiming to publish the final version of the paper, taking account of that final feedback in the coming weeks. And as I said, at the same time, we'll also publish the disclosure templates as they contain some disclosures on Last Look. So let me just talk now briefly about statements of commitment. So almost 1,100 entities globally have signaled their adherence to the code's principles by signing a statement of commitment, and you can find them on the various public registries. With the publication of the updated code, the GFXC is strongly encouraging market participants to consider renewing their statements of commitment, taking account of the nature and relevance of the updates to their FX market activities. So if you're involved in sort of the algo space or anonymous trading, I would very strongly encourage you to renew your statement of commitments, taking account of the change to the code. If they're not that relevant to you, then the need to do that with any great urgency is probably not so much. So we do acknowledge that the changes to the code will affect certain parts of the market more than others. But for those and most affected by the changes, we would anticipate a period of up to 12 months for those practices to be brought into alignment with the updated principles. And we would expect that the disclosure cover sheets would be posted alongside the statement commitments on a similar time frame, if not sooner. So let me finish and before opening it up for questions. So just to conclude, so we've completed the three-year review of the FX Global Code. It's been updated to remain current with the ongoing evolution of the foreign exchange market. I believe it will continue to serve its important role of setting the standard for better practice in the market. But for it to continue to do so, it requires that you as market participants continue to reflect the principles of the code in your activities in the foreign exchange market. I would strongly encourage you to familiarize yourself with the changes to the code and particularly to make good use of the disclosure templates, either as a liquidity provider who would be providing that information your practices in those templates, or particularly as a liquidity consumer who's going to be utilizing those services. In the end, we all have a strong common purpose in ensuring that the FX market continues to operate effectively and with integrity. And so with that, let me finish there and happy to open up for questions, which I think you type in the Q&A box. So if anyone's got any questions, very happy to answer them. So first question I've got is there a specific timeline for review, like every 3 years, or is it ad hoc? So thanks for the question. So the answer to your question is yes, there is a specific timeline, and what we've agreed include at the outset actually is that we would do it every 3 years. We don't want to do it too frequently because if the code's continually changing and people have no chance of keeping on, you know, up to date with what the current version of the code is. But at the same time, we are mindful of the fact that the FX market is a market which is continuously changing. The code does need to stay current with the current state of the market. And so we thought the appropriate balance in terms of frequency review is every 3 years. So having made these changes now, then the code this version of the code will remain current for the next 3 years. And when we then look to review it again. So, Thanks for that question. Happy to take any others that people might have. Okay, so we've got a question on central bank digital currency. So have we given much thought about the arrival of such currencies and how might they impact the code? So that is a topic which has started. We actually, at our most recent GFXC meeting, we did actually have a discussion on that topic. And actually we're putting the minutes of that meeting out shortly. And so you could, if you're interested, you can have a look at a summary of that discussion there. So it is something which is on the horizon. It's plausible that at the next three-year review, this will be a bigger issue and we may need to take account of it. To my mind, it's not obvious to me that it makes a huge difference to something. You know, the FX market is already a digital market. The currencies we're trading are already pretty much digital anyway. So I'm not 100% sure it's going to make a material difference, but it is something that we are paying attention to. What I'm not going to talk about is, particularly given it's 11 o'clock in the evening my time, is any update on the Australian economy. I have a policy meeting next week, so I'm afraid I'm not going to take or answer any questions on that as I'm in a blackout ahead of that meeting. But I'm already happy to take questions on the code or the FX market, but not more generally. So given I don't think there are any more questions, let me just strongly encourage you to have a look at the updated version of the code on the website address I've got there on the screen at the moment. Your organisation that you work for should be familiar with the code. I would certainly hope, but certainly if you could ask you to familiarise yourself with the update. We do have information there on what specifically has been updated and a bit of background on that to help people understand the nature of the updates to the code. So as I said, go to the website, have a look at the updated version of the code, and more in particular, strongly encourage you to familiarise yourself and make good use, particularly of the disclosure templates, which I think have scope to move the market further forward in terms of better practice. So with that, thanks very much, and hope everyone keeps well in whatever part of the world they happen to be in. Thanks and good night.